the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Sean Gibbons with us for Last Word on the Environment Weekly Spot. You have been banging on to me for a long time about how plug-in hybrids are not the solution, that you need to go fully electric when you get a new car. I think you've got some support for that, haven't you?
Yeah, good evening, Matt. Far be it for me to say I told you so. Certainly not. But yeah, this is a new study that looked at the real fuel consumption behavior of 800,000 vehicles. So what manufacturers tend to do, Matt, is they submit laboratory data to regulators. And unfortunately, the regulators are inclined to accept laboratory data. So they make claims about the fuel efficiency, for example, of cars. And this applies, of course, if you remember back to Dieselgate, there are all kinds of, you know, false claims made about emissions and so on at that time, which actually ended up in criminal charges a decade or so ago. So what we're seeing this time is the car manufacturers are very reluctant, especially here in Europe, to let go of internal combustion engines. They've invested billions in the technology, and they just don't want to change. This is the bottom line. You especially see this in the center of car making in Europe, which of course is Germany. And the German car industry is politically extremely powerful, and they're pushing hard to get the EU to ride back on the cutoff point of 2035 for the complete phase out of internal combustion engines. So what they've kind of dreamed up really is the PHEV, or the plug-in hybrid. The idea here, it's sort of like the light cigarette. You might remember when the cigarette companies were under threat, they came up with light cigarettes. Apparently the slogan is they'll kill you more slowly. So the same idea here with plug-in hybrids. The idea is you can have an each way bet. You know, you don't have to worry about running out of fuel, because you'll have a battery on the one hand and you'll have a petrol engine or a diesel engine on the other. So essentially you get the best of both worlds. That was the pitch, the best of both worlds. Now, the problem with the pitch is that the data doesn't support the argument. So let me explain why that is. First of all, these real-world testing, as opposed to laboratory testing, found that the emissions profile of these cars is five times worse than the official figures. So when it comes down to it...
Oh, in what way?
What they're finding is, well, first of all, the key thing here is that... according to the official data and the data that was submitted by car manufacturers, they claim that people driving these hybrids would be in electric mode, fully electric mode, 84% of the time. So when they studied nearly a million cars in real behavior, what they found is 27% of the time they were running on battery power. The rest of the time they were running on petrol. Not only that, they also said...
very hard to believe. Well, I'm just going, you know, personal experience. Having a hybrid, and it's very rare that it needs to be filled with petrol. And most times, on a charge, it goes for the fun. That's it. You don't need to use petrol at all.
Yeah, you personally may be in that 27% of drivers who's doing it right. However, even when these cars are running in fully electric mode, what the study found, Matt, is that their electric motors aren't powerful enough. And because they're not powerful enough to propel the car the way you want it to drive, the engine is constantly cutting back in. Also, you have two drivetrains. You've got the electric drivetrain, the battery pack, and the internal combustion engine, and the petrol tank. The combined weight and complexity of this means that you're dragging around a larger, heavier, more complex machine. And all of this, remember, is designed not for the convenience of the public, but this is designed by the industry to drag out the lifespan, primarily, I would suggest, of their internal combustion vehicles.
Well, indeed, I was reading a piece in the Financial Times recently which was pointing out that sales of electric vehicles are falling in the United States, and that all the major manufacturers are making the bet that they will be able to sell more internal combustion engine cars in the decade to come. And that point that you made about what's happening in Europe, there is a significant lobby now going to the European Commission and to member states, say, forget about this idea of phasing out the production of all new internal combustion engine cars by 2035. The look seems to be, I mean, after 2035, it appeared you could only buy a new electric car. You could buy a hybrid, or you could buy a petrol or diesel second-hand only, but there wouldn't be new ones made. I suspect, for the same reasons why Taoiseach Micheál Martin recently said that some climate projects will not be fulfilled because they risk polarising society, that people will not have their choices in relation to cars, what type of car it is, taken away from them within the next decade.
Yeah, see, I don't think it's about taking away choice. I mean, what you want, of course, is a correct choice. And the correct choice should be we want to choose between two different technologies, right? One of which is clean and efficient, and the other of which is dirty and inefficient. Now, that's the reality, Matt, of the choice that we face between burning fossil fuels to power our petrol and diesel and cars and transitioning to electric vehicles. That is the choice. And of course, in Ireland, that choice is even more stark, because 100% of the fuel to drive your petrol or your diesel car has to be imported, right? Whereas we know well that when we switch to electric, a lot of the power in that car can actually be produced here on the island of Ireland. So even if you wanted to roll up the green flag and say, is this something we should be doing as an import substitution model? The answer, of course, is yes. And to go back to your American model for a second, we've had record EV sales in America over the last few months. Now, part of that is to do with people trying to beat the Trump administration phase out of supports for vehicles, yeah. Right? But I wouldn't share yours or the Financial Times' grim view on the future of EVs. And I don't say this, by the way, as an EV fanboy. I'm just looking at this as somebody who's driven, you know, all kinds of vehicles. It's just basically new technology versus old technology, smartphones versus dumb phones. EVs are just that much better, smarter, more efficient, more energy efficient. The fact that you can power them at home using solar panels, Matt, on your own roof. Try doing that with your petrol car, right? So for so many reasons, I think that transition is inevitable. However, if I could go back to your observation about what Taoiseach Micheál Martin said last week, this absolutely made my head spin. He said, he argued, and I'm quoting directly here, he said, "I don't think we can mitigate for climate change."
Yeah, let me just read the rest of the quote. This was in a conversation with the Stripe co-founder John Collison at an event last week marking the opening of Stripe's new office. He said, "This might be controversial because I believe in addressing climate change, but if we get into a position where we're going to challenge every single thing, saying it's against the climate, we're going to divide society fairly fast, and we then get a negative reaction against good progressive policies that seek to address climate and very serious issues."
Yeah, I read that and then I reread it to try to understand what on earth he means. And this is
not quite clear what
it means. I think it's gobbledygook. This is Micheál Martin saying basically there are people out there who don't like the transition, right? So I'm going to pander to them rather than being a political leader who, by the way, we declared a climate and biodiversity emergency 6 years ago. Micheál Martin was part of the doll that did that. Micheál Martin has been Taoiseach who has presided over multiple carbon budgets over the last several years, right? So for the same Taoiseach to stand up, or in this case, sit down at a conference with one of his buddies from the tech sector and say Ireland is throwing climate action overboard because...
That's not what he said.
Well, I will stand...
John, what he said is he knows that they have to take good measures and that they have to do things to mitigate, but he says you can't do everything if you don't have the public buy-in and support for it, and that's why you actually have to choose your fights.
Sure, and on that, he himself and John Collison had a great chat about all these people who are objecting to things, right? And Collison actually picked one particular topic out, Matt, and that was he pointed out the ridiculous, ludicrous objections to a solar farm in East Cork. John Collison said this to Micheál Martin, and Micheál Martin kind of squirmed back, because of course the same Micheál Martin, last October in the Dáil, stood up and objected to the East Cork solar farm on the grounds that it was turning the green fields of Ireland grey. So here we have the same Taoiseach objecting
John,
to solar
energy. Yeah, but John,
energy.
Is there not an argument there as well that instead of using prime dairy land for growing food, you could actually use lots of land which is otherwise redundant for your solar farms rather than using land which can be put productive use for food?
Well, okay, let's again look at this briefly, Matt, right? If you take the entire solar energy targets set by the government for 2030, all of them, right, they require approximately 0.25% of the farmland of Ireland. So the notion that we're turning rural Ireland grey in order to get 0.25% of our farmland turned over to solar is ridiculous, number one. And Micheál Martin, of all people, should know that. The second thing I would say is, you know, if I were the dairy farmer who wanted to transition to solar, I would be saying to Micheál Martin, It's none of your business what I do with my land. Do not tell me how to run my farm. And the part of solar farm that people seem to miss is the second word, Matt. It's called farm. It is a form of farming. And it is incredible how often we see the only time that Micheál Martin is suddenly interested in joining the objectors is when it's a renewable energy project. And I find that incredibly depressing.
John Gibbons, thank you very much for being with us.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.